And we are just finishing up our series. We have got 2 weeks left in the book of 1 John. And actually, I asked Chrissy if she would read the scripture passage for today. But if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 1 through 6. Here's a nice big print version right here.
Okay, perfect.
We like big print around here.
We like big print.
Big print is good.
Big print is good. Right.
Sorry. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and now is in the world already.
You're doing fine.
You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood.
Thanks, Chrissy. Let me set up the topic of the day with a story. Sven loved to answer his email. Didn't want to miss a one. There were so many incredible offers coming his way. And as he sat one night in front of his computer, clicking down through all of the things that for most of us would be in the spam bin, he was just amazed at what he saw. Look, for only $30 and over 3 weeks with no homework, I, too, can earn a college degree. And he's like, no, I've already got 3 doctorates. I don't need that one. Then he landed on this amazing offer. Non-fat, no calories, no carb, flavor-enhanced ketchup chips. Click here for a free trial edition. It's like, yeah, because everybody loves ketchup chips. Oh, yeah, fat-free, carb-free, calorie-free. Oh, yeah, bring it on. He clicked. And after he'd entered his social security number and his bank information and a bunch of other things, he was assured that it would be shipping from Taiwan very, very soon. And so he sat back and he waited. And a few weeks later, it was actually just as he was coming home from the bank after there was some weird mix-up with his account, a carton was at the front door, a big case. He opened it up, and there were bag after bag after bag of unmarked potato chips. He picked up one bag and looked at it. No fat. No calories, zero carb, flavor-enhanced potato chips. Ketchup chips. Oh, sweet, salty goodness. He rips open the bag. Can you smell it? Can you smell it right now? Oh, right there. No calories, no carbs, no guilt, no fat. And he looks in the fine print. This product has not been tested on humans. May cause extreme disembowelment, genetic modification, and regret. Use at your own risk. He tried one chip. Oh, so good. And another. He went through about 3 bags of it. Then he looked a little bit further into the packaging. Do not eat more than 1 bag per day. Or... Then they said, you know, some side effects may include spontaneous disembowelment, genetic modification, and regret. This product has not been tested on humans. But they were so good. How can something so good be bad for you? So he ate a few more and a few more and a few more and a few more, and he washed it down with a liter of Mountain Dew. And pretty soon, you're starting to feel just a little funny in the tummy. Yeah, just a little rough. So he thought, I better go to bed. Well, it was a long night, and much of it was spent in prayer. Some of you know what I mean. And much of it was spent in prayer, but when the day broke and he got up out of bed, he actually felt pretty good. But he noticed that a few things had changed about him. His arms were like tree trunks. His legs were like, what's also big and like tree trunks? Telephone poles. Legs were like telephone poles. He could hear really, really well. Hearing like an eagle. Hearing like a dog. There we go. Hearing like a dog and eyesight like an eagle. Sven had been transformed through genetic modification into Ketchup Chip Man. Now, first, it was pretty cool. I mean, think of all the things you could do. Think of all the things you could do if you never, ever got tired. You never, ever had to sleep. If you could lift up a car with one arm and a truck with the other. If you could run 100 miles and not get tired. If someone could hit you and you would not feel any pain instead of being trapped in the pathetic little body you've got right now. Just think of all that good stuff. Sven, as he was munching on his genetically modified ketchup chips, he did. You know, at first it was pretty cool. You know, he went outside and he lifted up the neighbor's car. Opened the door to his house. Oh, knocked down the house. Whoops, sorry about that. Whoops. Tried jumping. He could jump 20 feet high in the air. And over the next few weeks, he never slept. He never needed to. He never got tired. He never felt tired at all. In fact, Ketchup Chip Man never felt anything. No joy, no discouragement, no peace, no anxiety, nothing. You know, being superhuman has a way of kind of making relationships complicated. His job as an accountant was compromised because every time he hit the buttons on the calculator, he'd break the calculator and click the button on the mouse and the computer would just fall apart. And he could hear everything that was being said in the office about him. He could almost hear people's thoughts as his hearing was so good. So he just stopped working there. After several weeks, he went back to the potato chip bag and looked at it again. Zero fat, zero calorie, zero carb, flavor-enhanced ketchup chips. May cause temporary disembowelment. Yeah. Genetic modification and regret. And for the first time in a long time, Sven, the ketchup chip man, felt something. Now, I told you that story to make one little point. It is good to be human. Here's why. Because Jesus was. Open your Bibles again, okay? Now, this is we're in John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Now, at the time, there was, in the early church, there was a big heresy kind of happening. It was called Gnosticism. It was a series of thought that was attacking the church. And actually, there we go. And it what Gnosticism taught was this: that Jesus wasn't really human. He was some kind of a spirit being, kind of God disguised in human form. Because as Gnosticism said, you know, the material world, the world that we can touch and smell and taste and feel, the material world is evil and corrupt. And so God cannot be involved in the material world. So the thinking goes. And so you see, John, as he's writing to these churches, he actually uses that issue as one of the litmus tests for truth. People that come in to teach, if they don't teach that Jesus came in the flesh, they're not authentic. In fact, they're the Antichrist, he says. Because this doctrine, the doctrine of the incarnation, was so central. They were still getting their heads around it well, but it was so central. The idea that Jesus Christ was fully God and at the very same time, fully human. Fully God, fully human, the doctrine of the incarnation. And it was a very central teaching. So central, in fact, that when the church got together, when the church started to really expand throughout the Roman Empire in the early 300s, and they got all the leaders together, they ended up writing a creed about it, the Nicene Creed. If you grew up in Lutheran circles or Catholic circles, you probably have said this quite a bit. I just want to take you through a little bit of it. From AD 352, so this is right about the time. Anyways, it was one of the first big kind of all nations. They get all the bishops and kind of smart people and theologians together in one room, and they say, okay, what do we really believe? And as you see in the Nicene Creed, they are dealing with this issue of the incarnation a whole lot. Now, I realize doctrine makes some of you want to roll your eyes back in your head and go, oh, this doesn't mean anything. Hang with me, okay? Just hold on, maybe pinch yourself a couple of times. Actually, here's what I want you to do. While I'm talking about this, I was going to say this a bit earlier, but just for giggles. Take off your shoes. You don't have to do this if this is going to cause like a biochemical hazard or something like that, but just, if you can, just take off your shoes. Just take off your shoes. Wiggle your little toes around. Yeah. Wiggle your little feet around and feel. So, in the Nicene Creed, you see them, it's talking about the nature of God, the nature of Jesus, nature of the Holy Spirit. They spend one little paragraph on God. We believe in God, one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen. And then they go to this massive section on Jesus. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Just to make you certain you're clear, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit and became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Oh, and there's the Holy Spirit too. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. And oh yeah, we believe in the church. Oh yeah, we believe in one holy Catholic, which means universal. Just keep your girdles on. One holy Catholic, small c, universal, an apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. This was the litmus test, the early litmus test of faith. Jesus was fully God and fully human. Fully God and fully human. Now here's the theological thing that's at stake with this. If Jesus wasn't really God, he was just sort of, or wasn't really human, he just sort of looked human, like he was sort of, you know, God in a disguise. The issue theologically at stake is if Jesus wasn't really human, then what he did on the cross didn't really pay for the sins of humanity. Like, let me put it this way. Just imagine I was really concerned with the reputation that chickens have developed in the United States. You know, chickens are known. They're known as foolish little animals that, you know, that just run around and just peck the ground, and they peck at each other, and they have pecking orders, and they're scared. That's why we call them chicken, right? And let's say I was very concerned about the reputation of a chicken. Very concerned. Very deeply concerned about the chicken's reputation and how they've been misunderstood. I could, to do that, I could dress up as a chicken, try to convince you that I was a chicken, walk around in a chicken suit, pretend to lay eggs, cluck a whole lot. But the thing is, I wouldn't actually change a chicken's reputation by that, would I? Why? Because I'm not really a chicken, I'm just dressed up as a chicken. Right? The way you change the reputation of chickens is you actually encounter a chicken that is different than the norm. If I could actually become a chicken, now that would be a trick. Now, that's a goofy little parallel, but you see the significance of it. This wasn't just God pretending to be a human being, showing us a really nice example, and then, oh, I love you so much, I'm going to die on the cross. This was God becoming a human being, taking frail humanity and taking all the sins of the human nature on himself and then dying on the cross. Jesus did not come to this world to give us good advice. He came to save us and redeem us from the very core of our being and who we are as human beings. Do I have an amen out there? Amen. And that, my brothers and sisters, that is good news. Humanity, your frail, flesh, weak, you know, peeing, farting humanity has been redeemed by God. Some of you are going to get very upset about what I just said there, but just hang on. We'll erase it from the podcast. How about that? But you know what I am saying. Because now here's where it means, this is the significance theologically. This is why the early church made a big deal about this doctrine of the incarnation. Because if Jesus wasn't really human, then our redemption isn't really complete. In fact, that's the same reason why, you know, the two groups that are most likely to come to the door in twosies, you know, on Saturdays and try to talk to you, it's the same issue. Who was Jesus? So whether you get the two nice younger guys that they're just out there trying to help the community, but they haven't really a clue what to believe other than the fact that they need to do a few, you know, few months of this missionary service if they're going to marry a nice girl. So don't be mean to them. Please don't be mean to them. Or for where you get the older one and the younger one. The older one does all the talking and the younger one doesn't. And the Jehovah's Witnesses, please, please don't be mean to them. But here's the issue. Jesus was not Michael the archangel incarnate. Jesus was not the spirit half-brother of Satan that just came down. Jesus was fully God and fully human. And because Jesus died on the cross on our behalf, we are forgiven by God. Our humanity, at our very core, we are redeemed and forgiven by God. That's the difference. That's the difference between Christianity and other groups that, you know, that hold sort of certain versions of that. That was the same issue that they fought with in the early church. Jesus was fully God and fully, completely human. So there's the theological significance, but there's also the emotional significance. So I want to talk about that for a minute. Because, you know, can we be really honest here? Sometimes we don't like our own humanity. Get so ticked off on ourselves because we're tired. Because we do all we can and then we just run out of steam. Sometimes our emotions get the most of us. We get discouraged. We hate that. At least I find I hate that about myself. And I start to think for a minute, if I can just be more than me, if I can just be not so human, then I'll be spiritual. I'll be better with God. Just got to find a way to work harder and not be tired and not get depressed and not get discouraged and not be worried about stuff. I just got to find a way to do that, and then I'll be more spiritual. You know, that's the same reason why I don't need, but I kind of want an iPhone. I don't need one, but I want one. Because the technology lets us transcend ourselves. You know, walking around and I've got maps just right there. I know where everything is because I've got my little device that gives me all this knowledge. I never get lost. I never don't know anything. I can Google it just right there. Man, that would be cool. Because I hate the fact that I don't know things. I hate the fact that I'm limited. I can only talk to one person at once, and so maybe I could be connected all the time. I could just be on Facebook, and I could be emailing, and I could be Twittering, and I could be talking to hundreds or thousands of people all the time, and all I need to give up is the relationship with the person I'm actually looking at the moment. So we love this stuff because the technology makes us feel more than human. And I'm not meaning to belittle the internet or Facebook or any of those things. I'm on there too. I like it. But sometimes the core of it is because I am so ticked off at my own weakness, at my own limitations, and my own frailty. But friends, the good news that you need to hear today and that I need to hear today is this. Jesus was human. He got tired. He slept. He got discouraged. He got frustrated. He peed. He farted. I don't have a verse for that. But all that stuff, Jesus was that. And his connection to God was not because he had transcended humanity. It's because he was perfectly human. And related to God. Do not look to be superhuman to be supernatural. The supernatural meets us right in the midst of our humanity, right in the midst of who we are, right in the midst of the day that you are tired and you're depressed and you're frustrated and you just can't even figure out how to pray. And God meets you right there if you will let him. Right in the midst of your humanity, in the midst of your weakness. If you want to experience God, don't go, looking around for some way to be genetically enhanced or this perfect situation where everything's all working out. God meets us in the midst of the mess, in the midst of the humanness, in the conversation with the neighbor, the person you meet because of a tag on a tree. The person you just happen to bump into while you're getting coffee and you start up a conversation. The person that comes to the door and you weren't really expecting them, and so your house just looks like most of our houses do when we're not expecting company. Can we be honest? We're not all done up. We're not in our Sunday best. Our hair looks like that. Or like, That is where God meets us, because that is where God was. Human. It's good to be human, because Jesus was human. Say that with me. It's good to be human, because Jesus was human. It's good to be human, because Jesus was human. Will you just let up on yourself a little bit? Will you let God into the humanness, the brokenness, the pain, the discouragement, the fatigue, the depression? Will you just let him into that? He's not waiting for you to get your genetic modification, super flavor-enhanced ketchup chips on. He's waiting for you to let him into where you are right now. Your humanness. That's where he meets you. That's why we wiggle our toes. It's because it's good to be human. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that, and when we talk to you about stuff, about what's going on in our life, we talk to a friend in heaven who gets it. That you have walked where we walked. You've had indigestion and heartbreak, discouragement. You know what it's like to be tired. You know what it's like to be frustrated and scared. And so we talk to as Hebrews says, our great high priest who sympathizes with our every weakness. Because you, Jesus, were human. We thank you for the good news of that today. Oh Lord, may we hang on to that. And thank you that in your being human, and you're, as a human being, dying on the cross, that humanity was redeemed by you. There's nothing that we can do to earn or deserve, even, that gift. It just is. It just comes. Lord, may we rest in that well today. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.